thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
But our theme tonight, as we've been mentioning, is let your light shine. And so I'm going to start off straight away with the reading. I'm going to put the two preceding verses to our theme verse tonight. So this is Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 to 16. And it simply reads, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." In life, we're faced with many decisions. We have many choices to make every day, every week, every month. Hundreds of decisions every day. Some of them aren't so important. It might be, should I wear red socks today, blue socks today, or one of each? Who knows? Or should I go shopping today? Or should I stay at home and read a book? Moral decisions, however, are based and shaped by our faith. They're choices between right and wrong, good and evil, truth and lie, light and darkness. There's things like, should I steal from my mother's purse? Something inside that says, not a good idea. Should I spread gossip about someone I don't like? Again, there's something inside us that says, it's not good. Throughout Scripture, we read of two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. They can't coexist, and we can't live in both. Rather, we have to choose which kingdom we want to live in, light or darkness. Light, of course, leads to life, and darkness leads to death. Indeed, light is mentioned all throughout Scripture, from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. Now, I typed this in online. 277 verses in the English Bible mention light. So, let's start. Now, I have a small sample, I can tell you here. But what wonderful words we read. Psalm chapter 27, verse 1. Wonderful words. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my source. He is my light." Again, one that we'll hear around Christmas time. Quite a lot of wonderful prophecy from the book of Isaiah. "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone." Wonderful prophecy looking ahead to Jesus. And again, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We have two more here. Ephesians 5, verse 8, the Apostle Paul. "For at one time you were in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." The last one for now is, again, from Apostle Paul, Philippians. Wonderful, I think, for our generation today. Philippians 2, 15. "That you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." If you are a Christian tonight, the light of Christ dwells within you. You are children of light. And our key verse tonight, as we've mentioned, is this one here. It's Matthew 5:16. "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." As you get ready to go to school, maybe you've already started, but at the beginning of this school year, and indeed for mums and dads, for ourselves as we get ready to go to work every morning, I want us to consider three ways in which we can ensure our light shines brightly this year. Three ways in which we can ensure our light shines brightly. Number one, it's really important that we always remember the source of our light. And for this demonstration, I'll need five primary school helpers or five primary school volunteers. So Bertie, come on up. Yeah, that's good. We love a pupil whose hand is up straight away. Four more volunteers. There is a reward. One, two, yep. Come forward, boys. Asher and Corey, come on up to the front here. So what I'm going to do, I don't want you pushing any buttons until I say go. I know that that can be really, really tempting. When you see buttons, the first thing is to press them. But let's see if we can leave the buttons for now. Boys, I'm going to give each one of you a torch. And I want you to hold this nice and high. Okay, so you can hold that one there, MJ. You can hold that one there nice and high. This one nice and high. Good boy. And hold this one nice and high, and there should be one more if I can dig it out here. There we go. Right, Asher, you hold that nice and high as well. So whenever we think of light, we often think of candles, we might think of torches, and these were picked up the other day, and we're going to see how brightly they shine. So boys, whenever I count to three, I want you to press the button nice and hard in the front of it and then hold it up high. So one, two, three. Well done. I think we have one of them shining there. Well done. Nice and high. Boys, maybe click it a wee bit harder a few times. Something's wrong. Those ones aren't working. I'm not sure what brand they are or where they were made. But yeah, they're not working quite so well. Boys, what do you think might be the problem? Here, Bertie's, yours is looking good. Yours is shining bright. You hold that up nice and high. Bertie's is going well. Boys, what might be the problem with those torches? Asher, you maybe have inside knowledge here. I'm not sure. But what might be the problem? Yeah.
It needs batteries.
Maybe needs batteries. Do you want to take the... Maybe we'll take the backs off and we'll see if there are any batteries in them. Yours are okay, Bertie. Oh, a little bit of a problem here. So let's start with Corey. Corey's torch isn't working because the void or the hole inside of it is filled with a fiver. It's filled with money. Yeah. So it's totally absurd to think that a torch could shine if filled with money. It wasn't created to do that. You could stuff as much as you could in there. Wouldn't shine. It wasn't created for that purpose. So you can, I'll be checking that after, Corey. You can put the you can put the cover back on there. Asher. So, but there's a problem there with that fiver. Some people do think that you can only truly shine if you're rich. It's totally absurd. Because if that were true, what happens if you're poor? Does that mean you can't truly shine? It's absurd. Asher says a little bracelet inside. And you know what? It's absurd to think that a bracelet or lipstick or makeup or something like that could make it shine. But some people think that you can only truly shine if you have the latest fashion on, if you have the latest designer gear on, and if you're good looking, if you're looking the part, if you have the right haircut. It's absurd. Because if that were true, just as it can't make a torch shine, what would happen if we don't have the latest gear? What would happen if we don't have the best haircut? What would happen if some of us don't have any hair at all? That can be a problem. That can be a problem. It would mean that we can't truly shine. Of course, it's absurd. It doesn't make sense. You might want to put it in your pocket or whatever, Asher. Then the next one, what do we have here?
I don't know. Maybe
see? Mark Miller's school report. Right. We have Maz, A star. English, A star. Science, A star. Music, A star. Art, A star. Geography, A star. Absurd to think that a report, no matter how high the grades are on it, it's absurd to think that that report could make that torch shine. But But some people think that you can only truly shine if you're academically excellent, if you've got A stars across the board. Again, it's absurd, because what happens to most of us if we're not that academically inclined? Does it mean we can't shine? Of course it doesn't. It's absurd. And then MJ, what's in yours? Yeah, this is supposed to represent friends. Okay, I've got a Lego figurine. It's all good stuff in there. But some people think that you can only truly shine if you've got lots of friends in your life. Again, it's absurd. No matter how many friends there would be, that torch couldn't shine unless there was a proper source of power inside it. It's totally absurd to think that we can only truly shine if we have lots of friends, because what happens if we're not so outgoing? Does that mean that we can't truly shine? What happens if we're slightly socially awkward, or if we have struggles meeting new people? Does it mean we can't truly shine? Of course it doesn't. It's absurd. So boys, can I have you leave the torches down here for me? And maybe if you just stay up for a second, Bertie. And I will give Asher that. Well done. Corey, there's your prize. You can stay up for a moment, Bertie. That's yours there. Just throw it in the bag. There, MJ. And that's yours as well. Now, Bertie's... Yep, you can head back now, boys. So Bertie's was the only one that truly shined. It truly shined because what was inside Bertie?
Batteries.
The batteries. There's only one thing in life that'll make this torch work, and those are the right batteries. Thanks, Bertie. You can maybe head back as well. Thank you. So, each of these torches was created by a designer for a purpose. And it was to shine, or it was to bring light into the darkness. They can only do that if the void or the space inside it is filled correctly. And in the same way, we were all created by a designer. No matter what society might say, no matter what we hear, we weren't created by chance. We were created by a designer, and we were created for a purpose. We could have been, God could have placed us in any generation, but he has chosen to place us in the here and now. And he has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. I grew up having to learn the catechism. And the catechism, number one, what is man's chief end, or what is man's purpose? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. We were created for a purpose, and our purpose is to bring glory to God, to shine for him like the torch. We also have a void like the torch inside us that needs to be filled in the right way. There is only one thing that can fill it. Whilst it's nice to have money, it's nice to have lots of friends, it's maybe nice to have high grades and good looks, they won't help us to truly shine. Only Jesus can fill that void in our lives. He is the source of our life, of our light. We have that light shining through our lives if our actions reflect the nature of Christ. His love, his compassion, his forgiveness. His light shines through our attitudes, our words, and our deeds. You know, you can shine brightly even if you don't have much money. Even if you have few friends, if you don't have a great education, even if you have a face set it more to radio, you can still truly shine. And quite seriously, often the people who shine the brightest are the people who struggle most in life. They struggle, but they're radiant. They understand that God is in control, and difficulties are only for a time. So the first thing I want you to remember tonight, always remember the source of your light. Just as the torch can't shine of its own accord, it needs the right batteries inside. So we cannot shine of our own accord. There's nothing in us that shines. It's only Jesus and his love shining through us that gives us light that shines in the darkness. So number one, remember the source of your light. It's only Jesus can fill that void. And then number two, don't hide your light under a basket. And this comes from Matthew 5:15. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Now, I've got a different type of a light here. You might have seen these on the roadside, a nice fancy light. But in Bible times, people would have used an oil lamp in their homes. Our modern lights, of course, are slightly different. They come with a switch and you can turn them on and off as you like. Some people think of their faith like this. You can turn it on and off as you please. Perhaps, I haven't got a basket here, so I'm going to use biscuit tin instead. But perhaps there's a group at school and you really want to fit in. But it's maybe not cool or perceived to be cool to be a Christian. So what do? Place a basket over your light. You hide your faith. You turn your faith off. You choose to act like the world. And then when we feel like doing something for Jesus, we lift the basket off. Maybe we don't want to talk to that person who we see is looking a little bit down in the playground. The basket goes back on. We decide to help somebody pick up all the books they've dropped. Basket comes back off again. But then we don't stick up for somebody who people are making fun of and who are picking on. Again, the basket goes back on. Comes to Sunday, we're at church. We not only take the basket off, we throw it and we turn it up. We make sure that it's shining really brightly on a Sunday. But the truth is, switching on and off our light or placing a basket over, taking it off, constantly doing that, it means knowingly and willingly choosing not to do what is pleasing to God. We're not doing what Jesus told us to. And hiding our faith under a basket doesn't bring light. Instead, it hides the light and it lets the darkness pervade. So remember, Jesus said, we're not to live like this. We're not to keep our light under a basket. We need to take it off. The next time you think of hiding your Christian faith, remember Jesus told us to let our light shine so that others, seeing our good work, would glorify our Father in heaven. We don't let our light shine so that we look good. We let our light shine so that others will glorify God through it. If you find it hard to stand up for God in front of your peers, and it can be really, really difficult at times, just ask the adults as well, not just for school pupils, for adults. It can be difficult to stand up from time to time, especially if we feel that we're in the minority. But ask God to grant you the strength to do so. Just a silent prayer, asking for courage and strength. God will honor that. He will help you to stand strong, even when it's difficult. So three ways in which you can shine bright this year. First one, remember the source of your light. Only Jesus can fill that void in your life, and he is your light source. Number two, don't be selective. Don't hide your light under a basket. Choose to live for him every day. And then we have the third point. We have remember and make sure to regularly clean the lens. Now, we have a couple of people who wear glasses in our house, and we often see them at this. Asher in particular will sometimes let the dirt build up, and you're thinking, how do you see out of those glasses? So you get the cloth, the spray, and you need to make sure that you give them a good clean. Now, some of you will be aware of the amazing cricket match we had last weekend. An incredible game of cricket. It was the third Ashes test, and England managed to beat Australia. England had little to no hope left whenever Jack Leach came in to bat. He was their number 11 batsman. He struggled to know which end of the bat to hold. He's not in the team for his batting. He's more a bowler. But he came to the crease with 73 runs still needed for victory. Now, whilst Ben Stokes, who was England's heroic all-rounder, whilst he blasted 72 of those runs, Jack Leach was a truly unlikely hero at the other end. He survived 17 balls over the course of 1 hour. Most of those cricket balls were coming at him at 90 miles per hour from the best bowler in the world, Pat Cummins, the number one bowler in Test cricket. But what endeared Jack Leach to the public all across the world was that after every couple of balls, he made everything stop in the stadium. Millions, tens of millions of people watching around the world. Everybody had to stop. He'd take off his helmet and he'd clean his glasses. And this went on and on in the match. Every couple of balls, stop, clean the glasses. And you'd see him staring down at the glasses. Tens of millions of people around the world watching on. But what made him do this? He recognized that dirt obscures his vision. And in a similar way, that can happen in our lives as well. Sometimes sin can cause us to lose focus, can cause our lights to dim. So we must choose the way in which we want to live. Now, I have five torches here and I need to work out which is the one with the light. Is it heavier one? I think this is it. That's it. We have it. But just as dirt can obscure the lenses of glasses, so sin can obscure the lenses of our lives. If this is our light as we go in to school, but we have a problem, there's somebody who we hate, a little bit of a problem, it dims our light. If we're constantly at conflict and at war, maybe you don't know anybody like that, but again, it dims our light. Maybe impatience is a problem. There's the old song, I want it all, I want it all, and I want it now. Impatience can be a problem again. That's going to dim our light. Maybe unfaithfulness. Nobody can trust you to do anything right. Unfaithfulness is an issue. Maybe it's selfishness. Life is all about me. Selfishness, again, that can cause our light to dim. Maybe we're harsh in the way that we treat people. There's very little gentleness there. Maybe there's the overriding sin there from the beginning of time, pride. Maybe pride is a problem in our lives. And just as Jack Leach had to constantly clean the dirt off his glasses because he knew that it obscured his vision, it's the same for us. If we're selfish, if we're harsh, if we're rude, if we're unfaithful, there's not much light getting out. We aren't shining in the way God wants us to. So just as Leach would inspect his glasses after every couple of balls and remove all the dirt, so we have to regularly inspect our lives. We need to take time. We need to read God's word. We need to pray. And we need to become aware of the dirt on the lenses of our lives. We all struggle with something. Nobody's perfect. Selfishness, maybe. Can be pride. Can be impatience. No one's perfect. However, God is always there to forgive us when we come to him in repentance. If we ask him, he will help us to overcome these things that can build up and dim our lights. If we set aside time to pray and to read his word every day, he can wipe things clean. And he can ensure that as our sin is dealt with, as we pray for forgiveness and as we try not to let sin get a foothold in our lives, we can truly shine for him. So as you return to school, my prayer is that you would shine brightly for God. Remember the 3 points. Number one, remember the source of your life. Only Jesus can fill that void and help you truly shine for him. Number two, don't hide your light under a basket. Choose to live in his strength and in his power every day. And then number three, make sure that you regularly inspect the lenses. Ask God to make clear anything that isn't quite right in your life. Don't let it build up, but deal with it. Make sure that it's dealt with so that you can shine brightly for him. And then finally, just some encouragement. Light always triumphs over darkness. The two can't coexist. When the darkness comes, the darkness must flee. So light always triumphs over darkness. Be encouraged. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for creating us for a purpose. You designed us to bring glory to you. I pray that you'll help each school pupil here tonight to shine brightly this year. When things get difficult, grant them the strength they need to overcome those hurdles and fill them with the deep peace that comes from knowing that you are in control. We pray this all in your name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.